All right, I think we are firing on all cylinders. We are got the podcast all ready. We are on YouTube Live and we are on Facebook Live. God bless you. It is me, Dr. Letitia Webb, and I am the woman who prayed and painted, amen, to heal my emotional pain and to clear the muddied waters in my marriage. And then I took that artwork and I put it on products such as journals and t-shirts and sneakers and bomber jackets and cards, amen. And I no longer say that I produce power from my pain, because I have no power of my own. I decree and declare that I am God resilient, and you are on the God resilient Dr. Letitia Webb. I don't know, is it a podcast, a YouTube show? I don't know. Ministry is whatever God says it is, but this is God resilient with Dr. Letitia Webb, and God bless you on this hump day. And wait, is this a leap year? Can we say it's a leap year, right? Tomorrow is February 29th. Friday is March 1st. So happy leap year to you. I will also be saying that on tomorrow. It's a rainy morning in Philadelphia, but we just praise God for the liquid sunshine. Amen. And I just pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful day. I also wanted to talk to you guys about getting wheels. Okay. My husband and I experienced something on Monday where we got a wheel. And you got to make sure that you understand the laws in your state when it comes to wills, right? A lot of times you think that we can just write something down and get it notarized and it makes it legal. Well, you just make sure that whatever state you are in, that you understand all of the legalities that makes a last will and testament official and legal, so that when things happen during our times of transition, because that will happen, everything is cool and in place and your family doesn't have to go back and forth. Amen. So I just wanted to share that with you. And one of the things that my husband and I learned is you cannot just handwrite a will. The only one who can handwrite a will is the testator, and pretty much the testator is you, the actual person. I can handwrite my will and get that notarized, but you cannot handwrite a will for a testator or another person and get it notarized. That is not legal. So for instance, if you have an older person in your life, and their handwriting is no longer that legible or good, you can't handwrite a will for them. In those instances, the wills must be typed up. All right. And we live in the state of Pennsylvania, and that is something that we learn. And I wanted to make sure that I shared that information with you. And I also wanted to say, I don't know what was going on yesterday with the technology. Well, I know what was going on. It was definitely some spiritual interference. Amen. That I definitely know for sure. But we are here again today. We live to fight another day. And what are we fighting? We are fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. As long as there is breath in my body and this is my assignment, I will be here with you until the Lord says otherwise. Amen. So let's go ahead and do what we came to do. Amen. We came to pray, process the information in today's devotional and God resilient, and pursue God's word. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you, we praise you, we worship you, and we honor you. Oh, Father God, thank you for just another beautiful day that you have made, God. We shall rejoice, Lord, and be glad in it, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the will, God. We just every day we want to say thank you that you wake us up seeking you. You wake us up being devoted to you. You wake us up, Father God, wanting to get into your presence. You wake us up wanting to praise you. You wake us up being disciplined, consistent, and focused, Lord God. You wake us up. You give us breath, Lord God. You feed us. You clothe us. You house us, Lord God. You enable us, Father God, to have all the necessary technology that's needed, oh, Father God, to learn of your word, to receive your word, and to be in a community of other believers. Now, Father God, I yield myself to you. You are El Shaddai. Hide me in the cleft of thy wing. Speak through me. Have your way in me. Give me the words to say that will be a blessing unto your people. I yield all of my faculties to you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, so if you are here on YouTube or Facebook, I would love, love, love to know who's here so I can shout you out and give you a blessing this morning. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So let's go ahead and get into it. We are still on the topic of kingdom value. God bless you, Terry. It's wonderful to see you this morning. Amen. Thank you so much for your grace and hanging in there on yesterday. We had a couple of dynamics going on. I came on a little late and then we had some tech issues, but we realized that it was some spiritual interference. So we just praise God. Amen. We are here another day. And so we are on this topic of relationship dynamics, amen, and how relationship dynamics can impact our kingdom value. And so yesterday we began to look at Samson. He was a judge, amen. And so again, I want to provide my definition. I want to put this into context. I'm providing just one definition of what I mean about relationship dynamics, amen. So again, toxic relationships, whether they are romantic, familial, or professional, can lead to feeling undervalued if one's efforts and emotions are not reciprocated or respected. Amen. That's just one aspect of toxic relationship or the relationship dynamic. Amen. So let's continue on with judges and learning about Samson. So now we've read all of Judges chapter 13 on yesterday. And what we discovered is that God called Samson. This is another experience. Well, God sent one of his angels to speak specifically to Samson's mother. Amen. And she was unable to conceive. And God said to her, it is true that you are, and we are in Judges chapter 13, and we are at verse 3, and I read in the Holman Christian Standard Bible, amen. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, it is true that you are unable to conceive and give birth to a son. Now, please be careful not to drink wine or beer or to eat anything unclean, for indeed you will conceive and give birth to a son. So that is a relationship dynamic that is already being set in place. The Lord, who is sovereign, amen, the Lord, who is our creator, amen. The Lord is the one who blesses the womb, who opens the womb. Amen. We may engage in the act, hallelujah, but it is the Lord who blesses the womb. Amen. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate that. And it's actually Judges 13:3. I love you, Mama. Thank you so much. And so we see that there is a relationship dynamic in place. God is exercising his sovereignty, and he is exercising and showing his attribute of God creator. Amen. And this lets us know that God is the one who determines who we are in the earth realm. Amen. We all have an assignment. It is up to us. God bless you. Thank you. It is up to us to learn of our assignment, learn of who God has called us to be so that we can operate in that. Amen. So from that day forward, the way Samson's mom had to engage her body in preparation for her child was different. The way she engaged her body was completely different. Now, let's look at verse 5, 13, Judges chapter 13, verse 5. For indeed you will conceive and give birth to a son. You must never cut his hair, because the boy will be a Nazarite to God from birth. That is a relationship dynamic. He was committed to God. His whole life was to be was to serve the Lord. And so the way his mother engaged him was already set. The way Samson had to approach the world or engage the world and the relationships in his life was set in place by God. Amen. And then his mother knew that when Samson came of age, what would be his relationship dynamics? He will begin to save Israel from the power of the Philistines. Amen. He would judge the Philistines. Amen. He already knew. So some of us, we wish that we knew who we were supposed to be from birth. I know. I wish I didn't have to figure it out. I wish that I knew, you know, but that just wasn't how God in his sovereignty chose to deal with me. Amen. And so we see here how these relationships dynamics were already set in motion by God for Samson. Amen. So then she goes to her husband. I'm in verse 6. She says, then the woman went and told her husband, a man of God came to me. He looked like the awe-inspiring angel of God. My God, can you imagine how powerful that is? If someone comes to you and he looks like the awe-inspiring angel of God, just imagine. She says, I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. He said to me, you will conceive and give birth to a son. Therefore, do not drink wine or beer, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite to God from birth until the day of his death. So now the woman knew how she had to, you know, engage life going forward when it came to conceiving and birthing this child. Now she told the husband. So now they both understand that, oh, we're getting ready to have this son. This son is specifically from God. This son has an assignment from God. This son will be dedicated to God. It set the relationship dynamics. Amen. So then Manoah pray to God and say, please, Lord, let the man of God you sent me come to us again and teach us what we should do for the boy who will be born. These are relationship dynamics. That husband, that father had enough wisdom to understand, oh man, we got this special message from God. We're going to have this son. We must dedicate this son to God. We need to know how to raise him. We need to know what to do with him. Relationship dynamics. Amen. And the parents recognize the kingdom value that their son will have. Look at this. Don't miss that. We're still on the topic of kingdom value. Amen. His parents. Now, his mother could have been like an Elizabeth, or, you know, could have been like a Sarah who laughed when she was told that she was going to get pregnant at her own, her late age. But they didn't do that. The woman nor the husband, Manoah, they did not do that at all. Amen. They recognize, oh, this is from God, and we need to go to God and seek God on how to manage this relationship with this child. Amen. So look at verse 9. God listened to Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again. This is serious. Sovereign God, Elohim, creator God, it's like, okay, they recognize the kingdom value on Samson. They didn't take it lightly. They took it seriously. And because they took it seriously, let me send the angel of God to them again. Amen. She was sitting, so I'm in verse 9. She was sitting in the field, and her husband, but Manoah, was not with her. The woman ran quickly to her husband and told him, "The man who came to me the other day has just come back." So Manoah got up and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he asked, "Are you the man who spoke to my wife?" "I am," he said. Then Manoah asked, "When your words came true, when your words come true," amen, there was no doubt. He says, "When your words come true." Look at the relationship dynamics that Manoah and his wife had with this man of God and their faith in God. This shows their faith in God. Their faith has kingdom value, because the moment that man prayed, God listened and sent the angel of the Lord again. That shows kingdom value. Amen. So then, I'm in verse 12. Then Manoah, I'm in Judges chapter 13, verse 12. Amen. Then Manoah asks, when your words come true, what will be the boy's responsibilities and work? Look at this. God, do we wish, amen, that we had the opportunity, that our parents had the opportunity to know exactly what to do with us when we were born, and how to raise us, and how to move forward. And boy, do we wish we had that with our children. Amen. So the angel of the Lord answered Manoah, "Your wife needs to do everything I told her." So there was an onus and a responsibility on the wife, on the mother. Amen. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, or drink wine or beer. And she must not eat anything unclean. Your wife must do everything I have commanded her. Can you think about the weight and the responsibility that this woman had? Let's look at this now. She had weight and responsibility that she would do everything that the angel of the Lord told her to do. Now, you know, I don't know back then if they got tempted. Okay, but we get tempted, we get cravings, we get all sorts of stuff. Especially when it comes to food and we're pregnant or we're hormonal and all of this other stuff. But I am a believer that God enabled her and empowered her, amen, to be obedient. But let's continue to read. So now that shifts the relationship dynamics between this husband and this wife. Think about it. They had to prepare themselves spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, physically, socially. They had to prepare themselves for the coming of this son. Terry says, recognize, implementation, and obey. I know that's right. They recognized that it was a message from the Lord. They sought the Lord on how to implement the message, and then they had to obey. That is wonderful, Terry. Thank you for that. Amen. So then look at verse 15. It says, "Please stay here," Manoah told him, "and we will prepare a young goat for you." The angel of the Lord said to him, "If I stay, I won't eat your food. But if you want to prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord." I know that's right, honey. Everything that we need to do, it needs to go back to God. If you feel like that you are a messenger from the Lord and that you are doing what thus saith the Lord, then we need to be giving glory back to God. Amen. Even when it comes to, say, you know, you guys want to bless me financially, you want to sow a seed, you got to recognize that you're not necessarily blessing me. You're not necessarily sending me a Cash App or sending me a Zelle or a Venmo. What you are doing, you are offering something unto the Lord for the word that you have been receiving every morning, for the strength, for the light, for the wisdom, for the knowledge, for the encouragement. It's a way that you thank God for it, and it's something that you do tangible. Yes, we can offer thanksgiving unto the Lord, but there's another way that we can offer God, that is through, in our world today, finances. Amen. And a lot of times we think that we're blessing the man or woman of God, or that we are, you know, doing something for the man or woman of God. You're not doing anything for the man or woman of God. You're really doing it unto the Lord and exercising your level of faith in a different way, and thanking God and giving and expressing gratitude unto the Lord in a different way. You know, and some of that comes in tangible ways, like giving a monetary offering. So look. The angel of the Lord said, look, if I stay, I'm not going to eat your food. But what you can do is offer a burnt offering unto the Lord. Terry says, whatever we do, do unto God. Amen. That's a blessing. So Manoah did not know that he was an angel of the Lord. Think about it. So at that time, they thought that this was just a regular man. We know that angels don't eat our food. God blesses them so that they can enter into this three-dimensional realm in a way that we can understand and perceive them, but then they can't do the natural things. Amen. So look at verse 17. Then Manoah said to him, "What is your name, so that we may honor you when your words come true?" Look at this. Manoah was trying to, he was a man of honor. Look at the parents of Samson. Look at that. He believed his wife when his wife said, "In awe, a man looking like an awe-inspiring angel came to me and told me this message." Then Manoah prayed unto the Lord and said, "Send the man back so we'll know what to do." Then Manoah said, "Stay here so that we can fix you a meal, so that we can like express our gratitude and honor you." So then he said, "Well, what is your name? So when the things come to pass, I can honor you." Look at this. Look at the relationship dynamics that Manoah had with this man of God or angel of the Lord. We can learn something from this. We are to honor people who bless us, who give us the word, who gives us instructions from God. We don't want to be a blessing unto people. Amen. God bless you, Elise. It's wonderful to see you this morning. I love you too. We don't want to be a blessing unto people. Because we think that we're giving them something, or we think the word is free. Whatever our paradigm and belief system around like honoring other people and blessing other people. Look at what Manoah wanted to do. This angel of God only came to him twice. Think about it. And he wanted to honor him. He wanted to bless him. Amen. So I'm in verse 18. Why do you ask my name? The angel of the Lord asked him, since it is beyond understanding. My God. It is beyond understanding sometimes. God will send somebody to us that will speak a message to us. Somebody, we will hear something, read something, encounter somebody at the store. And we'll just have a conversation with them. And the word of God tells us that sometimes we don't even know if we are entertaining angels. That's why we gotta have our relationship dynamics. That's why you gotta treat everybody right. That's why you gotta treat everybody with respect. That's why you gotta be honorable towards people. Because you don't know if you are entertaining an angel. Manoah did not know that he was entertaining an angel. He thought that this was just a natural human who was a man of God. Look at the relationship dynamics. How do you treat people? And I'm not talking about at church or in front of other people. I'm talking about for real, for real. How do you really treat people? Are you honorable? Are you respectful? Do you have pure motives and pure intentions? Are you looking to constantly gain something from them? Think about it. And when someone does bless you, do you want to like thank them in return? Pastor Carr says, I know if I treat someone wrong, the Holy Spirit convicts me every time. I'm telling you, I am telling you, because God wants to increase your kingdom value. You got to remember, I want to say what the first three of the Ten Commandments is about our relationship with God. The rest of them is about our relationship with other people. The relationship dynamics with other people. In the Ten Commandments, God is setting a precedence of how he wants your relationship dynamics to be with him. That vertical relationship. And then he sets commandments for the horizontal relationship and how you are to engage others. Everything is about relationships, how you treat people. And let me tell you, when people are by themselves or if they have no family around or no friends and it appears as if they are alone, oh, honey, let me tell you, people will treat you different if they think you have nobody around. Amen. I have been in plenty of situations. You guys know I'm from Virginia. I live up in Philadelphia and my family is not here. So there's a lot of times I had to stand by myself in a lot of situations. No family. It was nobody to call. Amen. This was before marriage, and in some instances, you know, it was after my marriage. Amen. In some instances, not all. My husband is with me. He is for me. Amen. But there are some instances, amen, that you got to stand by yourself. When people think that you by yourself, how they treat you changes. Honey, I am a living witness to that. And so the thing about it is, how do you treat people who have less power than you? How do you treat people who you think can't do anything for you? How do you treat people who I don't want to always use these categories, but, you know, homeless or, you know, active in their addiction. We know people who are active in their addiction is spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. You know what I mean? But we treat people like it's them. Amen. And they are the ones who's doing it. And it's not like they're not in a fight. Amen. We got to think about these things. How do you treat people when you know that no one is around? How do you treat people when no one is looking? Terry says, his thoughts and ways are not our ways. I try to treat others as I want to be treated. God wants me to do that. Amen. Elise says, you are telling the truth. I treat people how I want to be treated. Amen. I am telling you, I have seen it. I have experienced it firsthand too many times. When people think that you are alone. Amen. So, this is just very powerful when you see these relationship dynamics. And I'm so grateful that God led us to read about Samson's parents first before we just get into Samson. Because sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes where you come from says a lot about you. Who your people are says a lot about you. I'm not talking about all the time, okay? Because sometimes we can come from a poor family background and God is the one who calls us and raises us up to set generational blessings in order. Amen. But there are sometimes you can come from a good family background and then you make decisions or are easily influenced to sway in another direction. Amen. So it does not all, your family background does not always determine where you're going to be in life or the type of person that you're going to be. However, in a lot of cases, it helps to understand where your family background to understand where you are. Maya Angelou stated, you got to know where you came from to know where you are and to know where you're going. Amen. So, Pastor Carr says, I find that the homeless and drug addicts treat you better than family and church members. You know what? I've had that same sentiment as well sometimes. Elise says, amen to that. Pastor Carr says again, you got to stand and trust God. Amen. And that can even go to race too. I have been in some instances that I've been treated better by other cultures than my own culture. You know, there's sometimes like I don't fit in a lot of times, because they're all different types of African American people. Amen. We're not all the same. So there are some circles within the African-American community that I don't fit in. I'm not cool. I'm not hip, you know. I am who God created me to be. I've been called a white girl a lot of times. You act white, you talk white, you act white, you talk white. Well, you know, this is just who I am and who God created me. So when you like grow up in an environment where you are rejected by your culture, I was rejected a lot by my culture because I had good grades in school. I talked proper. I used proper English, or I talked like a white girl. And then I was raised in a middle class neighborhood. You know, so when I would go with family who lived in different types of neighborhoods, it was like, you know what I mean? I didn't fit in because I was not raised in the projects. I wasn't raised in the hood, you know, but my family lived there. So I would go. So I'm able to maneuver in different environments because I was in those different environments growing up. But I was rejected a lot by the members of our community who were actually raised in the project versus me going in and out of it, if that makes sense. Amen. So Elise says, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Real talk. It's definitely your family background on certain circumstances. You have to know where your DNA comes from. Yes. Oh, what's up, Eldrazetti? God bless you. She is on YouTube and she says, wow, that was me being called a white girl. Yes. I was called a white girl. So for me, it was a struggle because my relationship dynamics within my, and I'm not saying it didn't happen within my family because it did as well, but it kind of created a resentment within the African-American community. Oh, so much so that I didn't even want to go to a HBCU for undergrad. I didn't feel comfortable. I thought I would just go to a school with all black people just for me to be rejected. So it's like I had already kind of went through that growing up. I didn't want to go away and continue to have that type of experience in college. So I purposefully went to a traditionally white college. I went to James Madison University, and at that time it was within the top 10 of schools, of public schools. It was in the top 10 public schools, public colleges in Virginia at that time. I want to say it was number 3, not private, not Ivy League, but public. And so I purposely went to James Madison University. I did not apply to not one historical black college. Not one. Because I did not want to continue to feel rejected by my own people. Amen. So, Elder Zeddy says, amen. Bless you as well. Love you. I love you too, mama. And Terry says, amen. Me too. They said that about me too. Black, white girl, proper talking, etc. Oh my God. I am so happy that I shared that. Unhetty, God bless you. How are you? Amen. My Aunt Hattie, I love her. She's on my father's side. She says, be who you are. You are intelligent. Oh, Aunt Hattie, thank you. Terry says, I was raised in most white environments. Amen. And so, yes, y'all, it's like depending on our background and where we come from and those relationship dynamics, it impacts how we show up. It impacts the decisions that we make. It impacts the environments that we want to go in. And I didn't want to be in environments with a lot of members of our community because I was rejected so bad within our community. But then you grow up and then you understand racism. And it's not that I did not experience racism as a child from other cultures, because I did. But for whatever reason, it was not in my face as much as the rejection within the black community. But then you grow up and you learn and you understand that you just, it's about finding people who understand you and get you, whether they're white or black, whether they're Asian. You know, you get to a point where ethnicity doesn't matter. It's about connecting with people who connect with you. Amen. But when you're younger and you're trying to develop your group identity, amen, that is a part of the process. Amen. So yeah, I'm just so glad that we're able to look at God's word, amen, and really like see these relationship dynamics. But look at Samson's parents. That speaks volumes. And it wasn't just and this is another thing I want to point out. It wasn't just the wife. I don't even think the wife's name was mentioned. It keeps saying the woman, the woman, but the husband is named. You guys know that God's word is intentional. This is very interesting that God didn't see fit for us to even know the woman's name who carried and birthed Samson, but we know Samson's father's name. Amen. And this, you know, speaks to the men, how important it is for the man to be in position, how important it is for the man to serve the Lord thy God, how important it is for the man to have discernment and to be able to recognize if this is a message from the Lord, for the man to want to offer an offering, for the man to want to get specific instructions, for the man to be honorable. Let's not miss that point. The mother, his mother was not named in chapter 13. We only know the name of the father and the husband. Amen. So now let's look at verse 19 as we wrap up. Manoah took a young goat and a grain offering and offered them on a rock to the Lord, who did something miraculous while Manoah and his wife were watching. When the flame went up from the altar to the sky, the angel of the Lord went up in this flame. My God! When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell face down on the ground. They knew at that moment that that was not a natural man that they were talking to. Amen. The angel of the Lord did not appear again to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. My God. So then it says in verse 22, we're certainly going to die, he said to his wife, because we have seen God. Okay, honey, not one of us gonna see God and live, okay? But they didn't necessarily see God. They saw the angel of the Lord. Amen. So verse 23, but his wife said to him, if the Lord had intended to kill us, listen to the wisdom of the woman that we don't know her name. Okay. She says, if the Lord had intended to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted the burnt offering and the grain offering from us. And he would not have shown us all these things or spoken to us like this. So the woman gave birth to a son and named him Samson. The boy grew and the Lord blessed him. Then the spirit of the Lord began to stir him in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Those were, I don't know if I've ever, well, I'm not even going to lie, I know, I've never read about Samson's parents. I am so grateful for the wisdom and the light and the revelation that God is blessing us with in the God resilient mornings. Amen. That is so, I mean, that, like, go back in your own time, because if you reread it in your own time, God is going to show you so much more. We never know who we're entertaining. Our kingdom value needs to increase. And it will increase when we know how to treat people. It will increase when we are not a respecter of persons. Our kingdom value will increase when we are honorable. Our kingdom value will increase when we can discern who people are and honor them and treat them accordingly. Not that you would treat anybody any less, but you got to recognize who's in your presence. Amen. And when you get a word from the Lord, this is another good thing too. Because my spiritual mother, my husband and I, spiritual mom, Dr. Carolyn, I remember one time I was, you know, we went to a service and a minister gave me a prophetic word. And I was, and I, you know, went to her. Of course, you know, I run the prophetic word by Dr. Carolyn. And I was like, I wonder what they meant when they said X, Y, and Z. She was like, well, next time, ask them. And I didn't even know that you could ask. You know, I was like, oh, you can actually ask the person what they mean by that. I don't know. In my mind, I thought that that would be challenging or doubtful or unbelieving. She was like, no, it's okay to ask the person to go deeper or to vibe more clarity. And this is what Manoah did. When the angel of the Lord appeared to his wife and she told him, he said, what did he do? He immediately prayed to God and asked God to send the man again so that he can ask for specific instructions. So if you ever get a word and you don't have clarity or you want more instructions, if you are able to go back to that particular person, go back and get clarity. Amen. It's okay to go back and get the clarity that you need. And then when you get that clarity, make sure you honor that person. Honor them. Amen. You give glory and honor to the Lord, and you seek the Lord on how you can be honorable to the person who blessed you. Amen. All right, y'all. I love y'all so much. And y'all, I mean, it's like I keep going over the time. I'm supposed to do a hard stop at 7:30 because I have to transition into some other things after this. But you know what? I don't know what to do, y'all. Y'all just pray for me, okay? Because I want to give you what the Lord directs me. And when I get that in my spirit, that, okay, I've said enough for today, then we can transition, all right? But I love y'all, amen. I thank y'all. Y'all are making me a better woman, amen. I show up because I know that you're going to be here. Of course, I show up to be obedient unto the Lord, amen. But I also show up to be a part of our God Resilient community. So when I know that you are here, you give me purpose. You give me another reason to wake up. You give me another reason to be a woman of integrity. You give me another reason to study. You give me another reason to seek the Lord. You give me another reason to walk with God and to seek God. Amen. You give me another reason. So I thank you so much. I need you as much as you need me. And iron sharpens iron. God bless you. Mwah. Have a wonderful day.